For this morning's scripture, turn to the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, and we'll be reading the first 10 verses. Numbers chapter 23, the first 10 verses, page 198 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively. Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, Stand by the burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, Return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable, and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defiled? And from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And the text verse is that 10th verse, and let's pray. Father, we surely rejoice to be thine, and thank you that we could get out this morning and be in this place. Of course, numbers of people could not get out, and we trust you to care for the church family. Those who could not be here and those that are here. Bless, we pray, these who are faithful. And many of these worked extra hard in order to be here this morning. They made a real effort. And we pray that you'd bless us now as we're here and as we listen to the preaching and as we hear thy word. God bless our preacher. And bless concerning the needs that we all have. In this hour, in Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read for you, without your turning to it, another part of the story of Balaam, from that which was read a while ago. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you to your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. You recall the story. I'll give you the brief story and then come back to the message. The princes of Midianites, especially King Balak, had sent princes to Balaam, a marvelous preacher, an amazing preacher, and said to Balaam, We understand whomsoever you curse is cursed, and whomsoever you bless is blessed. And we want you to come to our country and there preach and place a curse on the Israelites because we are afraid of them. And Balaam said, No. I said, I'll go to God. And God said, No, Balaam, you can't go. And Balaam came back and said, I can't go. God says, I can't go. And they came back and reported to Balak, and Balak said, let's send some more offers. Let's make the spoils greater. Let's give an offering more money and more honor. And let's send more important men. And so these more important men came back to Balaam, and they said, Balaam, we want you to come to our country and for the Midianites and place a curse. We notice whomsoever you curse is cursed, and whomsoever you blessed is blessed. We want you to place a curse on Israel. And Balaam said, And here's what he said. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Now, may I make it very plain. The Lord had already told Balaam what to do. He had said to Balaam, don't you go. Now then Balaam says again, I'll said, tarry this night. Spend the night here, he said to these Midianites. I'll go and find what the Lord said unto me more. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when God's already said it, you don't have to check anymore. One time is enough. If God says it in this book, you have no need to check anymore at all. The truth is, I used to preach a sermon on when not to pray. When not to pray. And one of the times when not to pray, you don't have to come to God and ask God if you're supposed to do what He says in the Bible you're not supposed to do. Or you don't have to come to God and ask God if you're not supposed to do something the Bible says you're supposed to do. The Lord has said it. And Balaam said, I'm going to go find what the Lord will say unto me more. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Balaam did go. Balaam did end up in sin. His life was wrecked, and Balaam died a tragic kind of a death. I want to speak this morning on the subject, further word not needed. Further word is not needed. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you'd help me now to have the attention of the people. Take our minds off the snowstorm and off the small crowd and center our minds upon the Word of God for these few moments. It well may be that this hour could be a changing point, a turning point, an apex point for several someone in this room this morning. I pray it shall be. Give us diligence to preach and diligence to hear aright and carefully and wisely and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. The battle is over. A tragic battle between Israel and the Midianites. And the Midianites have been defeated by God's people. The bodies of the Midianites lie in heaps, in rows, in piles, in avenues, and in hecatombs. They lie. Already, the vultures and jackals are arriving for the feast. Now, can you picture it for a few moments? Stacks and heaps of dead bodies, and the animals and the buzzards are arriving for the feast. I see in these pyramids multitudes of Bedouin and Midianite people. But I notice as I see these heaps of dead bodies, I notice one is wearing the clothing of divination. I look more carefully, and I recognize him as being Balaam, the preacher. His cloth is rent and torn. His gray hair is blotted with blood. And his starry and wild, sightless eyes look upward. Is that you, Balaam? I ask, art thou among the slain? How comest thou here? Didn't you once utter great messages from God? Did not you once utter, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his? What a strange kind of a death for you to die, lying here in the hecatombs of the Midianite dead, lying here a corpse, midst the heaps of the heathen. When you said, let me die the death of the righteous, didn't you once say, God is a man that he should not lie, or should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent? Aren't those texts that you preached? Don't I recall some marvelous sermons you preached and great meetings you conducted? And when, don't I recall you at one time being a mighty man of God? Then why lie you here? I think I know. I think I can tell you why you're lying here in a death of shame and reproach. Did not you once utter the prophecy, a star shall come out of Jacob and a scepter shall rise out of Israel? And yet you lie here with slain sinners. Balaam, you had a marvelous beginning. You were an amazing preacher. You were once a great prophet of God. I do not know of anybody in the Bible a greater preacher than Balaam was. I do not know of anybody in the Bible with more promise than Balaam had. What a tremendous man. A great evangelist. A great preacher. And one who, though he was led into the wrong place to preach, never wavered at all, but he did go to the wrong place. Now, I want to take just a few moments, and I want to show you some mistakes that Balaam made. By the way, that car out there on the tracks a while ago, I thought about that. Now, I do not know what kind of a fellow would park his car on the railroad tracks, unless his name is L.J. Parr. He left at the same time. But all of us thought, you know, why in the world is a car on the railroad tracks? I guess we thought the trains can't run either today. But the truth is, we wondered. I did. Why is that car there? Somebody should push it off. Somebody should not leave it there, nor should leave it there on the railroad tracks. For surely a train will come and destroy the car sooner or later. And yet, there are people all over the world who purposely put their lives in as precarious a situation as that. Knowing ruin is going to come. I'm thinking about this report, the Surgeon General's report about tobacco came out again this week. Now, here's the fellow who's smoking the crazy stuff, or the crazy fellow smoking the stuff. Here he is. He knows it's cancer forming. He knows he has 70% more chance of having heart trouble or lung cancer. Here's a lady who knows her unborn baby will have to suffer because of her smoking. And the car is on the tracks and tragedy is going to come. He knows it. Or she knows it. And yet, there it is. Pending tragedy on its way. Here's a man who believes the Bible. He believes that there's a heaven with golden streets and gates of pearl. He believes that people that die in Christ go to heaven. He also believes in hell. He believes that folks who die unconverted go to hell. Yet he's not saved. He knows if he died, he'd go to hell. He knows that he's got to get born again. He knows that he could get born again if he'd put his faith and his trust in Jesus Christ. And yet he says, no, not today. Just as foolish, 10,000 times more foolish than a fellow who'll park his car on the railroad tracks. And so it was with Balaam. Balaam knew what God wanted him to do. Now, the mistake that Balaam made was this. He sought further word. God had told Balaam what to do. He knew what to do, but he sought further word. Ladies and gentlemen, You don't need any more word than what's right here in this book. I mean, it's here. Fellow says, I'm going with an unsaved young lady, and I've prayed about it, and I believe God wants me to marry her. Now, what you've done is you sought further word, but it's right here in this book. You shouldn't do it. You know what Christians need? Christians need to pray. Let me change that a minute. I started to say pray less. Yeah, about the will of God. Concerning God's will. Now, don't crucify me yet. Concerning God's will, Christians need to pray less and read this book more. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you pray for sinners. When you pray for preachers. When you pray for power. When you pray for God's blessing. But when you seek the will of God, you bathe yourself in this book. Thy word. This book is a lamp to your feet to show you God's will today. This book is a light to your path to show you God's will tomorrow. And one of the great mistakes we make, we've gotten so spiritual. Here's a fella. He says, God just gave me a special revelation. All fooey on that. Get your Bible out and read the Bible. You need no further word than what God has already said. Here's everybody in the Bible that got in trouble. They got in trouble because they did not obey the revealed word that God had already given them. God's very plain. You shouldn't go with the unsaved. God's very plain. You shouldn't run with the wrong crowd. God's very plain. You ought to live a separated Christian life. God's very plain. You ought to live in this book. You just find out what the book says. And all this seeking further word. You know, some fellow came off last night. And he said, he's probably here this morning, good man, college student. And he said, we were talking about some books he's reading, and, And he said something about a certain author. I'll tell you the author. The author is Pink, who has written a lot of Bible study books that are more what's not in the Bible than what is in the Bible. I mean, more types than realities. And I'll be honest with you. The longer I preach, the less enchanted I get with types. I know people across this whole country that they can tell you all the types. Brass is the symbol of judgment, and silver of redemption, and gold of deity. And one is the number of unity, and two, the number of division, separation, and three is God's number, and four, the earth's number, and five, number of grace, and six is man, and seven is God, and eight, new beginning. I know them all, and I believe them all. I believe those things are true. But what people need is not to know that brass is a symbol of judgment. People need to know how to live and behave themselves and rear their families and stay in the Bible and the things that God has obviously said. And all across this great Chicago area, little Bible clubs gather day after day after day and dig deep in the Word of God. And yet they never get down to this matter. God says go soul winning, and God says behave yourself, and God says rear your children right, and God says pray, and God says read the Bible, and God says be clean, and God says be pure, and God says do right, and God says be fruitful, and God says bring forth fruit, and God says feed the poor, and God says clothe the naked, and God says feed the hungry, and God says care for the lonely, and God says strengthen the weak. That's what we need. We are so busy trying to find what God has said further, we're not obeying what God has plainly and definitely said. And I said to him, I don't think a college student ought to read Pink. And he said, why? And I said, because of his treacherous doctrine on predestination. He said, well, I'll just take the good and leave the bad. And I said, no, until you're about 40 years old, been preaching about 20 years, I'd suggest you not take the good and leave the bad. You don't know what's good yet, what's bad yet. That's where you get mixed up on doctrines. Everybody's wanting something God doesn't say. I know people that can tell you more. Listen, I know folks that know more types than God knows. And they can tell you everything about the beast of Daniel 2. They can tell you what the beast stands for, and what the leg on the beast stands for, and what the foot on the leg stands for, and what the toe on the foot stands for, and what the nail on the toe stands for, what the polish on the nail stands for. And they can go down deep in these matters, but the honest, simple truth is people need to know what the Bible says about how to live and how to do right and how to walk with God. They're basics. You don't need what God didn't say. You need what God did say. I've said this before. When I was a younger preacher, I used to want to give my people something they'd never heard before. I'd want to startle them with some great new doctrine. But after preaching all these years, there are just about 20 things I want my folks to have. And I just give those simple 20 things over and over and over again. The obvious things in the Bible. That which is obvious. And Balaam, or Jack Hyles, or John Colston, or anybody else will get in trouble when they seek more or further word from the Lord. David got in trouble when he went against that which is obviously taught in the Bible. Abraham got in trouble when he left the land of Canaan, went down to Egypt. God had told his people not to fiddle around with the Egyptian people. God had told his people not to mess with the heathen, and Abraham already knew what to do. But he sought further word from God, went down to Egypt and wrecked his life, and brought back a little Egyptian bondwoman named Hagar, went under her because Sarah couldn't conceive, and Hagar had a child, and then God miraculously gave Sarah the child. He was just 90 years of age, and that child didn't get along with Hagar's child, and the Ishmaelites became Hagar's child became the Arabs, and Sarah's child became the Jews, and now the whole world's been fighting about that ever since then. Why? Because somebody tried to help God out. Listen to me. Listen. The Bible says tithe, tithe. The Bible says behave, behave. The Bible says go soul winning, go soul winning. But the average little group of Bible study people who get together and laugh at little simple Bible studies in church, and they like to use their cliches about deeper life. Brother, you don't get any deeper than soul winning. Never get any deeper than soul winning. And they say, don't pluck green, we gather round the Word. And they look down at an old-fashioned hellfire brimstone New Testament church like we're somewhat of second-class citizens. We just haven't gotten as deep as they are. Let me tell you something, brother. You just forget whether you're deep or shallow. and spend your life doing what God says to do in His book. But you say, I love Him. Okay, then quit Him. You shouldn't have Him because God says you shouldn't have Him. But you say, this is what I have prayed about it, and I believe this is what God wants me to do. I get so tired of that kind of reasoning, I don't know what to do. Listen, if God has said it, you don't need to pray about it. If God has said it, you need no further word. You don't need needless type. Just get your Bible down, forget your pet doctrines, forget your predestination, and get on your knees and read the Word of God and do what the Bible says. You know one reason that usually people that go astray are brilliant people? Simple people like you and me. We don't have any problems. It's the brilliant guy. This morning, I just clicked on to try to find some news, and Herbert W. Armstrong came on. He's the guy that Brother Roloff is following. Brother Roloff is buying his big place. I wrote Brother Roloff the other day, and I said, Brother Lester, Garner Ted Armstrong is the son of Herbert W. Armstrong, and Garner Ted and his father broke up. And I said, I've been worried about who's going to take Herbert W. Armstrong's place. He's getting up in years. And I'm glad that God raised you up to take his place and so forth. But, you know, I listen to that fellow. That guy's brilliant. He is brilliant. Brilliant people are the kind that get swept off. The brilliant fellow's the kind that wants to find out that God has chosen some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. The quacks that go off into Calvinism, hyper-Calvinism. They're brilliant people. They want something the rest of us don't have. Listen, what you need is to get to the obvious, what God says. Listen, there's enough in His Bible that's very plain for you to keep you busy the rest of your life just doing what God says to do. That's obviously said in the Word of God. Balaam lies a corpse, a Midianite corpse. I was sitting up in a hotel room in Moncton, Canada. And I turned the news on. And after the news, there was a talk show. And they're interviewing a famous Hollywood scriptwriter. His name is Chuck Templeton. Chuck Templeton, when I was a young man, was one of the outstanding young evangelists in America and Canada. He was a brilliant young evangelist. He decided that God had told him to become an American Baptist and join the Liberal American Baptist Convention. Now, the truth is, nobody ever decided that in the will of God. But he prayed about it, and this is what God said. You don't have to pray about it. You're not supposed to join up with liberals. Now, you can waste your time. You waste your time praying about that. Chuck Templeton, later on, he decided he's going to clean up the National Council of Churches. How are you going to clean it up if you get out? God didn't call you to clean it up. God just called you to get out. That's all. You're not going to clean up National Council of Churches. And Chuck Templeton became an evangelist sponsored by the National Council of Churches. He was going to change the whole thing. And then he quit having revivals and started having, emphasis meetings. What are some of the other words they use for those? Seminars, another word. Symposiums. You just preach when you preach, and I'll preach when I preach. And spiritual emphasis week. I hate those new terms. I like born again, get right with God, revival meeting, altar call, mourners bench, and so forth. And what happened? Now then, where is he? That brilliant young preacher, that amazing young preacher, I heard him say with his own lips, I no longer am sure there is a God. Yeah. Yeah. I no longer am sure there is a God. I saw him on a television talk show in Canada. Now, where did he start? He started when he sought further word from the Lord. The Lord told him to touch not the unclean thing, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, and that's in the book. He sought further word and said, I'll clean it up from the inside. I am constantly fearful of our college students especially those brilliant college students who are wanting something a little bit extra. Now, the truth is, you can take a, and I don't know why I'm talking about pink. I've never talked about pink in my life before. But I've got his book on gleanings from Genesis and gleanings from Exodus and so forth. And the honest truth is, you can get that thing and read that, and it'll excite you to death. It's exciting. Because he can tell you, listen, God ought to read his books. It's amazing how much God could learn about the book he wrote. If God could ever read his book on Genesis, God would learn some things that God had in mind God didn't even know he had in mind. He wrote it. Let me tell you the kind of books you need, folks. You need How to Pray by R.A. Torrey. You need The Power of Pentecost by John Rice. You know Dr. Rice's book on prayer, asking and receiving. You need the book on marriage by Kathy Rice, and How to Rear Children by a famous author. That's what you need. Well, I know it's exciting to get down. I never saw that in the Bible before. Well, if you never saw it before, you've been doing pretty well. Just want you to do what you've seen. I like what the old colored fellow said down in Texas. The Southern Baptists have another study course. And he said, Laws of mercy, I ain't done that when I took last year yet. Now, you do that. You do what it says, what the Bible says. Listen, people oftentimes say, well, what is the best way to study the Bible? Just read it. Just read it. Get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and read it. Don't dig in it. Read it. If you'll check the Bible studies we have here, I'll read a verse and say, that teaches to pay your debts. I'll read another verse and I'll say, that teaches you ought to be honest. Read another verse and I'll say, that teaches you ought to read your children right. I'm simply saying that Balaam got in serious trouble, when he said, by the way, there's a second mistake Mr. Balaam made, fella. If you hadn't have done this, you wouldn't have had any problem. If you hadn't have said, tarry ye this night. Tarry ye this night. General Grant was talking about one of his officers in the Northern Army, and they asked him why his officer, this man, was such a great man. And General Grant said he learned to say no. So when he said no, people thought he meant no. My mother used to teach me how to say no. I used to practice it, look in the mirror. No, 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 no. If Balaam had my mama, he wouldn't have gotten all that trouble he got in. Balaam opened the gate when he said, spend the night. These are heathen people. They're asking him to go outside the will of God. And he knows better. But he said, spend the night. He got in trouble. Let me tell you something. She said, I don't intend to marry the fella. I just intend to have a date with him. Most people married somebody they didn't intend to marry the first date. Don't open the door. Don't unlock the fence. The first party. The first social drink. By the way, something else got Balaam in trouble. Here's Balaam, this preacher. He's a corpse. He's lying with the heaps of dead. And Balaam is about to... His dead body there is rotting. And the jackals and the buzzards come to eat his flesh. And I say, Balaam, not only did you get in trouble when you sought extra and you did not do what God had already said to do, and when you let those people spend the night with you, but Balaam, you got in trouble also when you said something. You said, if Balak would give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of God. Now listen to me. Don't you get the place where you brag on how faithful you're going to be. Peter said, Lord, it won't be me. Somebody's going to deny me, the Lord Jesus said, and Peter said, it won't be me. What you'd better say, it might be me. It could be me. So because it could be me, I'm going to do my best to obey God and do his will and do what he says. Hey, do you know who the young person is that gets in deep sin? It's the strong young person. It's the one who's the strong one. Dr. Evans, we sit in the office and we talk time and time again about young people in trouble. And two times out of three, it's somebody that stuns us because they're strong. You can trust me. I'll not do anything wrong. What you'd better say is you better say with the Apostle Paul, I buffet my body every day, lest I myself become a castaway. Balaam said, though you give me this house full of silver and gold, I'll not do more than what God said. Now, Balaam should have said, fellows, don't come in. I like money. I like silver. I like gold. Fellows, you better not come in. If you come and spend the night and I go pray about it, I'm afraid I might end up going with you. Fellows, I better not let you come in. I just can't do it. But Balaam said, I wouldn't take a room full or a house full of silver and gold to go further than what God says, but come on in. And Balaam got cocky. There's something else about Balaam, and that is this. And this is so interesting and tragic. Did you know Balaam never got the gold and silver he was promised? And did you know he never got the honor he was promised? They said to Balaam, we'll give you honor and we'll give you gold and silver if you'll come to our country and curse the Israelites. And Balaam said, I won't curse them. They said, okay, you just come on. We'll give you gold and silver. Balaam never got the gold and silver. He lies there a corpse. His body, his eyes staring in the sky. He's dead. His blood is drying on his graying hair. His clothes of divinity are torn and bloody and soiled by the battle. And he lies there with all the heathen people as one of the heathen dead. And he didn't get... Listen, the devil never does keep his promises. The devil, he promises you joy but gives you misery. He promises success and gives you failure. He promises bright lights and gives you dark nights. He promises riches and gives you poverty. He promises you silk and satin and gives you print and leftovers. He promises you the best and gives you the worst. He promises you health and gives you disease. The devil never kept one promise he ever made. Come with me, Balaam. We'll give you money. Hey, Balak, where's that money? Hey, princess, where's that money? I'll tell you where it is. It's in the treasury of the land and held by the heathen people. They never intended to give it to Balaam. And they're liars and they're cheats. And so is the devil. He says, come with me. I'll make you happy. He never has made anybody happy. Come with me. I'll give you joy. Never has given anybody joy. The devil never keeps a single promise. I've seen them go like a mighty army of people away from the will of God. And I hear this same thing time and time again. I dream about it at night. Brother Hiles, I've prayed about it. I've prayed about it. All fooey. But I believe God just told me to do it. Now, listen carefully to this. Did you know if anybody in this room prayed enough about doing wrong, he would end up thinking that doing wrong was doing right? Did you hear me now? You keep reopening the issue, and the best person in this room will end up doing wrong because he keeps praying about whether he ought to do it or not. You know, if God led you somewhere, you don't have to go to God and ask him where to go. You, in fact, the truth is, I don't believe, here, make careful, I don't believe in seeking God's will. I believe in doing God's will. And when you do God, God knows where I am. He knows where I am. He's got my phone number. Nobody else does, but he does. He knows my address. He knows where I am. I haven't prayed a prayer in 19 and a half years about the will of God for my life. No, I never pray about it. You thought you want to do God's will? I'm doing God's will. Well, how do you know if you don't pray about it? I don't have to pray about it. Just stay available. He knows where I am. He knows I talk. Listen, I talk to him every day. I talk to him every day, and he talks to me every day. Don't you reckon any time we get together, he can tell me if he wants me to do something different? You get in trouble when you seek God's will. You do God's will. You say, what do you mean? I mean that last thing. Listen, 19 and a half years ago, God told me to come to Hammond and become pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, and that does it. I'm not going to ask him. Ever. You don't ever have to ask God if you leave. God tells you. You stay busy. When I was in the Army, they had the general orders. The last general order was to continue at the last command until you hear from headquarters again. So, when Moses was called to lead the Israelites, he was busy. He wasn't seeking what he should do. He was doing what God had last told him to do. When Gideon was called to lead the fight against the Midianites with the 300 people, Gideon wasn't seeking God's will. He was doing what God told him to do last. Young people, especially, what a dangerous thing it is for you. And I'm not talking now about just trying to find alone where I should go, what I should be. I'm talking about this matter of coming to God. Listen, young men, come to my office. Here's a young lady that's been on dope. She comes to First Baptist Church. She gets saved. She's been off dope 2 weeks. And the guy thinks he ought to marry her. And he says, God has told me I ought to marry her. Listen, folks. Listen. Dr. Evans, how old are you? 43. Can you still smell perfume? You still enjoy it? I see. Do you know, I'm a little old for this, but since you're young, did you know that a beautiful girl at 10 o'clock at night with perfume and the wind blowing past her perfume towards your nostrils, who has long flowing hair and and did you know that and you say, dear Lord, should I kiss her? Huh? Do you know what you're going to hear? Huh? You're going to hear a voice say, yeah. And you're going to say, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's where you get in trouble. That's where your problems come. See, you get yourself in positions that are contrary to this book. And then it always seems like it's the will of God. Fellow says, Brother Howe, I've been praying about it. I think I ought to quit school for a semester and buy me a new car. Let me ask you a question. You reckon anybody that's driving a beautiful car on a day like this looks down in the floor and sees the snow underneath the car? And he gets out and early in the morning and he turns the starter on and it goes, "Urgh." And finally he gets the old thing started, pushes it halfway to church, and drives by a Chevrolet house, Ford house, but that's what he has now. And drives by old mobile houses, I think. And he sees those shiny new cars out there. And he stops and says, "Lord, should I have a new car?" Huh? Wonder what he's going to hear a voice say. He's going to come to me and say, "Dr. Howes, the Lord has told me to get a new car." That wasn't the Lord. It's that hole in the floorboard. That's what it was. Now, the truth is, the honest truth is, Balaam got in trouble. His life was wrecked and ruined, and he lies there a corpse because he sought further word from the Lord. I'm trying to preach to you folks from San Diego this morning. God called you here. Now, you don't seek any further word. If I prayed this afternoon, dear Lord, should I live in San Diego or Hammond, God would tell me San Diego. He'd tell you the same thing. But that's not the Lord. Balaam, tragic but true. There's still, at Balaam's death, at that very moment he's lying a corpse, there are couples married wrongly, heathen to Christians, because of Balaam. Little children, half breeds, half Midianite, half Israelite, idol worshiping. Why? Because of Balaam. Because of Balaam. All because he sought further word. Do you know? Most, and I'm not just preaching a college message this morning, but okay, I'll say it. If God led you to go to a Christian college, God wants you to finish at that same Christian college. Now, if you made a mistake and got the wrong one, then you might change and get back. But if God led, I never recommend a student in any Christian college in America that's come to Hiles Anderson College. We don't turn them down if they come, but I never recommend it. If God led them to that school. When God leads you to a school, you don't have to stop and pray every Monday morning, Lord, where should I go next week to school? Or next year? There's far too much. Boy, this sounds like I'm unspiritual. But there's far too much following the leadership of the Spirit. End quote. The Spirit inspired every word in that book. And anything you find in that book, you do not have to ask the Holy Spirit whether you ought to do it or not. Now, your problem is, you don't spend enough time in that book to know what the Holy Spirit says you ought to do. Because you don't, you're always seeking further word. You don't need further word. Dig, read, memorize the word you've got. That's it. So many heartbreaks. So many tragedies. I've seen them in the last 2 weeks. So many, much. Because people have sought further word from the Lord. And it sounds spiritual. It sounds great. But it's carnal. It'll lead your life to ruin. Unless you find what God has said. And you do what God has said. You do it until He says do something else. You need no further word. I've never in my ministry spent a great deal of time trying to seek what God wants me to do. I have spent literally tens of thousands of hours trying to find what God wants me to do from this book. Live in it, love it, memorize it, obey it, and find what it says. For this book is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. Now listen carefully. This book says that you're a sinner if you're not saved. This book says that sinners go to hell when they die. This book says that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. This book says that all who trust Him by faith can be saved.